Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. Here we are again. It's weird. The things that you notice outside of the KMOX window when you're live and you're on a little earlier than you're used to. So Our studio windows look out towards Pine, across from the War Memorial, and so there's some people getting parking tickets right now. I didn't even know that they would ticket someone this late at night. I thought there was a certain time where it was just, free-for-all. I thought the ticketing hours closed at a certain moment. Well, I didn't realize they enforced that after 9 o'clock, but there they are. Wow, that's a first for me. I don't know if that's a normal thing, and I'm just not used to seeing it. What else am I going to find now that we moved Overnight America to start at 8 o'clock on weekdays? What else will I see? It's a whole new world. I'm going to start flying around and noticing things. It's like stopping and smelling the roses, really. There's a whole bunch of things you've never expected to see. Joining us in about 5 or 10 minutes from now, we're going to talk to Tom Sullivan. And he's a watchdog that has followed this loop trolley disaster. Well, okay, maybe disaster is not the right word for it. This boondoggle is more of a right word for it. But we're going to watch what happens there. And last night there was a county council meeting where they presented that they needed more money. They needed $200,000 in order to continue operating till the end of the year, and then they need an additional $500,000 to continue to operate till the end of next year. Now, I talked to Maria in the newsroom about this in the meeting last night. I believe Tom Sullivan was there because I think I saw him on with Elliot Davis in his Facebook Live video, because Elliot Davis from Fox 2 was there too, and Maria was there too, and I talked to her. Yeah, she saw Tom, but I don't think Tom spoke last time. But one of the things that she mentioned was just the question of, where has this money gone? How was it spent? And what are you going to spend this new money on? Now, one of the things that were brought up last night when they were questioning, okay, let's say we hypothetically fund the loop trolley till the end of next year, how would you spend $700,000? And they said, well, mostly on salaries. And then we find out that they would potentially hire another person. So everyone was scratching their head and they're thinking, you have no money and you're going to hire new people. There's another couple of different strategies that could apply here. We've read that, well, even if we fund this thing, there's no guarantee it would stay open. There's a potential that we give them the money and it still closes. What? And the other scenario is, if we allow this thing to stop now, we may owe the federal government millions of dollars because we were unable to keep our end of the bargain. You know, this thing costs, what, $52 million? The federal government gave upwards of $30+ million into this project. And the thing hasn't even been open a year, and we're already talking about closing it down. Oh, my goodness. So this is not a good scenario to be in. Some people have a lot of faith in it. I would say there's a majority of people that do not have faith in this thing. And if it continues to stay the way it is right now, all signs point to it closing mid-November. I wondered, you know, maybe I'll go and give it one more try to say goodbye to it. But I had such bad experiences with it the last couple of times I went on it. I don't know if I'd want to put myself through that, even if there's a point where you're rolling the dice, right? You can say to yourself, yeah, I could probably risk eating that. I probably won't get sick, but, you know, I'm going to eat it anyway. Like, let's say you show up. Like here at the radio station, for example, sometimes I show up and there's food out. And I know for sure that came here at about noon. But when I get in here normally at about 6:30, if I start at 10 o'clock, I'd get here at 6:30. It's been out for about 6 hours when it should have been in the fridge. Maybe I'll roll the dice and I'll eat it. Maybe I won't. I don't know. That's rolling the dice, okay? Some people would do it. Some people wouldn't. The loop trolley, it's an even worse proposition. So if you're hopping on this thing, rolling the dice that A, it'll actually operate properly, B, it'll be on time, or C, you won't get stranded. I mean, if you look at these boom, boom, boom things, the odds of all of those things happening, you're better off getting two numbers in the lottery. Like if you were to do like a pick six, if you're probably having better odds of getting three numbers in that thing, right? It's not good odds. And that's where we're at right now. I want to talk to Tom Sullivan about it, get some of his thoughts on what he's analyzed when it comes to the loop trolley. And if you have any questions about it, you can always text in to 314-436-7900. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. We've covered the trolley frequently over the last year or so. Well, basically since I moved here to St. Louis. It's been fun to see the development of the trolley. And then it was fun when it opened. And I got criticized, mostly because I would sit down with certain people. And even on this radio station, I would say, there's no way this is going to work. There's no way this is going to be successful. And they said, oh, I'm being way too hard on this thing. Well, we're a year in. Not even a year, and they're already about to close the doors on the thing that they can't afford, and they spent $52 million ripping up the roads and putting a trolley to nowhere out there. And now we look back at it, and finally, you can say the criticism is warranted because we're asking for even more money into this thing, and you're thinking to yourself, how in the world are we going to justify putting more money into this thing that we know is a failure? So joining us now is someone that is a local watchdog, Tom Sullivan. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
Were you at the meeting last night?
I was.
I thought so. I thought I saw Elliot Davis pull you aside and talk to you with Joe Edwards there while the meeting was going on. What were your impressions of the request to keep this thing going and the request they made for more money last night?
Well, the interesting thing was listening to County Executive Sam Page. He had come out on Friday with a letter to the county council saying he thought $700,000 was something that the trolley needed, but by Monday he was kind of backpedaling, and then on Tuesday he said, well, we hate to see it closed down, but we're not in a position to give him any money. He says if it has to be put on, if it has to be mothballed for the winter, and come back next summer, that would be fine with him. So that's kind of where he is at, and the council is almost has no support at all. There's three council members who are dead set against it, and there's several who are certainly skeptical. Nobody's actually for it, so at this point, I can't see it getting by the council whatsoever.
It's funny you say mothballing it. Is that a way for them to try to make a plea to the federal government? Please don't charge us for this thing. To say at least it's alive a little bit, because some of the rumors now is that we would actually have to repay some of the money the government gave us in order to put this thing down if we were to close it up altogether.
Well, the Post-Dispatch came out with that this morning, and I'm not sure I know where they came up with that at. First of all, I don't know of any similar situation where the government has asked for money back. Hmm. After all, they're the ones that approved it. You have to wonder about them. Why would they appropriate the money for this if in fact it was his on such thin ice? And as far as the city or the county being liable, there's no liability whatsoever. The Loop Trolley TDD, which is the Transportation Development District, it's its own government. It's separate from the city and the county. So they're the ones that would be on the hook if, in fact, the government is going to want any of its money back.
Interesting. That's a nice way to look at it. It's kind of like when you make an LLC, when you're putting a business together. Limited liability. That's important when it comes to the taxpayers' money. Put it on the, what was it, the TTC? What's the initials on that?
It's TDD, Transportation TDD. Development District, and it's a political subdivision of the state, meaning it's its own government, same as a city or a county.
Right. So when we see this, and you're someone that has been critical of this throughout the years and the process of what happened and the circumstances and all of the pitfalls and all of the extra money that went into it. And then the question of, is it even worth it to begin with? There's been so many different obstacles that somehow they've been able to get past up until this point. And now they're out asking for some more money again. Why do you think this is the last straw for many people that were in once supporting it?
I think people are fed up with them constantly coming back. You have to realize that in 2015, St. Louis County gave them $3 million because, again, they were coming out with the same old story. If we don't have this, we're not going to be able to continue, or we're not going to be able to get matching money. And so the county council went ahead and gave them the money, but it was a 4-3 vote. There were some members of the council who were not in favor at all. So then they have the $3 million in 2017, they come back saying, oh, we need $500,000 more. And that's when Steve Stinger said, no way, we're just not going to do it. So then we had Bob Clark came up with $500,000. He gave him as to keep it running. And now they're back again. So that's one of the problems that the county council members have with it. Even if you gave them $700,000, they'll be back next year and the year after. Where on earth are you going to? Where is it going to end? And nobody sees a plan as far as getting them on and getting them running. It simply isn't there. And then we have the Business Journal coming out just a little while ago with an article, and Joe Edwards is quoted in there saying he thinks that the annual ridership could go up to 350,000. Well, right now it's at 15,000. How on earth you'd ever get to 350,000? I have no idea. But sometimes Joe operates in an alternative reality.
I don't know. It's very optimistic. Yeah, and Tom Sullivan joining us here on KMOX. I wonder what it would take. So have you done a thought exercise, what it would take for you to get on board with this process? What would have to change in order for, you think, most people to start to support this thing?
Well, there's nothing that would get me on board, and I think a lot of people in university feel the same way. You have to realize is that this has caused a lot of destruction. First of all, they tore up the street and while they were constructing the trolley, and it put some of the businesses closed before it even started running. Then others had to close and just put them out of business, and several others were pretty badly damaged. Then it goes in front of the library, and they put the stub there. You got the tracks, and you have these big ugly poles, and it just has really been a problem in University City. You have to realize that the big selling point for this trolley was that there would be no overhead wires, you know, because everybody knows how it works. You got these big ugly poles, and you have these arms sticking out for the wires, and then you got all the wires that are interconnecting, and the whole selling point was, that's not going to happen. And then Joe said, well, we're going to need the wires, but they're going to be almost invisible. Well, that's hardly the case. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it has been quite a problem for University City for the loop, and then it clogs up the traffic on a regular basis. You cannot pass the trolley. So the trolley putt-putts down Delmar, sometimes 10 miles an hour. Then when it stops and nobody can pass it. So there is actually times when you cannot get on Delmar because the traffic is so backed up.
Yeah, and let me tell you the experience I had and one of the observations with it. One time I tried to get on the trolley, I waited an hour for this thing and it never showed up. And I was out there with my 4-year-old son who was really, really wanting to give this a try. So it was a big disappointment for him when I had to explain to him, we just can't do it. Then on the second try, I was able to get on it and it was good. You know, it got me to where I wanted to go from the History Museum down to Fitz's to get a root beer float and back. Just to try it out, and it was really nice. Third try, it got me to Fitz's, and then it breaks down in front of the library. And because it's so far away from their main branch, which is a big building, by the way, it makes me wonder why 15 employees have 15 employees and they got that big of a building. But either way, it took them forever to get down the road because traffic was insane. And then finally, when the repair people got there, they had to hop on the trolley. They couldn't fix it. They were able to get to another stop and it broke down again. And they got to another stop and broke down again. It was altogether an hour delay before we got back to where we should have gone, to where we were anticipating it. But then I realized a huge flaw in their system that I don't think too many people are talking about. So right in the middle, right where the main hub is for their building and their location in between Forest Park and then the opposite end of it, which is over by the library in the Del Mar Loop area, they have to switch over. The trolley cars have to find themselves in the middle point and then they cross over and use the same track. What happens is if one car is stuck on one side, the other car can't cross over. It makes it so they literally have to stay on the other side of the 2 mile track because of the way that the median point is. I don't know if that makes sense. So you add a third trolley car in there. I don't understand how you'd be able to number one traffic that thing. But if any of these things go down, all of them have to stay down. It's just an entire mess.
It's not a real stable system. And one of the problems is you're dealing with streetcars that are 70 and 80 years old. They call it a trolley, but it's essentially streetcars. Mm-hmm. And they did it because it saves money. They only paid like $30,000, I think, for the streetcars. And, of course, they spent a great deal rehabbing them. They look very nice. There is no doubt about that. But they don't have any air conditioning, and that's a problem. That's a problem all by itself. But they have been unable to establish a routine where they're on time and they're dependable. That just hasn't happened. They've been breaking down every once in a while, and sometimes they've been only operating with one car, and again that puts them behind. So they haven't never established a dependable time frame at all.
Yeah, and I just want to go back to that one thing where they have to cross over in the middle. Imagine adding a third in there. How does that work? Because if you have two trolley cars where they have to wait for the other one to pass before it's able to go on the other side of the track. If you had a third one in there, there's no way you'd be able to keep that rotation up. It would be insanely quick. So a third doesn't even, to me, logically or even economically make any sense. So I read one thing, too. I read that there's some insurance that was built into the original construction when they were going through and ripping the roads up, that if for some reason, if this thing fails, that they would at least have the cost paid already to rebuild the roads in those areas. Is that true?
I'm not familiar with that. I do know that University City made them post a $300,000 bond in the event it does close down, and they need to redo the streets and get rid of all the poles. So I'm not familiar with anything else.
Oh, wow. Tom Sullivan, do you mind holding on? We can talk some more trolley right after the break.
Sure.
Okay. Joining us now is Tom Sullivan. We had him on in the past. I think we talked about Proposition Z when it was up on the ballot last year. But we're going to talk some more loop trolley. And if you have any questions for him, give us a call at 436-7900. Or better yet, how about you just text those questions to 314-436-7900 on Overnight America KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I want to thank our guest, Tom Sullivan, local watchdog, who wanted to hop on the show, have a conversation about the loop trolley. You've been covering this for how many years now, Tom?
Oh, probably goes back about 7-8 years.
Yeah. Let me throw at you some of the ideas that people have put out there. I think it was the Riverfront Times that said make this into a rolling bar. What do you think about that one?
Well, the Riverfront Times has been having a great amount of laughter over this thing, and I don't think that's going to work, but I think that it's just one of the people are having a good time with this, but they're some pretty expensive laughs, no doubt about it.
Yeah. One of the questions, from what I understand at the meeting last night, is where is the money going, the money that's already flowing into it? Because part of the request to keep this going till the end of the year, and then the request to keep it going through 2020, the question was, how are you going to spend this money, and where's the shortfall? And they mentioned, from what I understand, that they would actually hire more people if they were able to get more money.
Well, the question was, why are you hiring a director of security, I think it was, at $65,000 a year? Mm-hmm. And the response from the executive director was, well, that's in our budget, and that's somebody that we had planned all along. And I think possibly he said that the federal government might have some sort of requirement. But, yeah, you do have to wonder why you would need a director of security when there's very few people on the trolley. They've not had any trouble that I'm aware of as far as security goes. Their problems have all been elsewhere.
Yeah. Have you rode the trolley?
I have. I got a tour last summer from the executive director, and he gave me I went through the whole headquarters that they have down there and saw the third car that they have. And It's kind of a fun thing to ride, but I mean, again, it's not serious transportation. And when it stops, and this was a pretty hot, warm day, it can get pretty toasty in the trolley car. Someone has said they don't have heat, but I have a hard time imagining that. I would think they'd have some heat.
Yeah, that's a good question. I have rode it, and I didn't look for the heat, but I noticed that on the 90-degree day or whatever, when we were stuck stationary for an hour, yes, it gets very hot. My wife was not a fan of that. In fact, people were getting off, and they're like, fine, I'll call an Uber. They got sick of waiting, and they just found alternative transportation. And this thing, it is a novelty. It's not legitimate public transportation. It doesn't really connect anything altogether. If you think about the Del Mar Loop and that whole stretch there, it's not like it's unwalkable. In fact, there's no convenience factor of hopping onto this thing to go to one place to another, outside if you wanted the experience to go from the History Museum to another area. But even then, you're purposely seeking it out. But then it adds all the other headaches of the traffic issues. It has all the headaches of the traffic parking issues, because people parking over the line and then blocking the trolley, and it's just a terrible, terrible mess. I know the businesses, they have to be super frustrated, because this thing, it's not driving people to the businesses, and it's probably taking away business from them at this point.
No, well, that's been the issue from the very beginning. Where exactly is it going to take people? I mean, sort of the fun of coming to the loop, and what the business is like, is to have the customers walking up and down the street, and there's very few people that are going to be taking it to the History Museum. Besides that, the History Museum closes at 5 o'clock every day except for Tuesday.
Yeah.
So that's just one more thing about this. You have to shake your head. Another thing is, they have Metro does have a shuttle in Forest Park. So supposedly, when Joe Edwards was explaining this, he was trying to say that these millions of people that are in Forest Park, the visitors come every year, they're going to be jumping on this trolley and they're all going to be coming to the loop. And that hasn't happened.
No. I'll tell you what we do. My son and I will go to St. Charles. They have this bus trolley that's there, where they outfit a bus to be like a trolley. And it's free, and it's reliable, and it's on time, and I've never had an issue with it. And we do that a couple times a month, because my four-year-old just loves it. He thinks it's just the greatest thing, where we can hop on it, go on a ride, get off, get hot chocolate, and come back on, or whatever it is. So when I told him about, we can go on a real trolley, real streetcar, and check it out, what a big disappointment when the thing didn't show up. And then eventually we finally get on it with him, and we're stuck for an hour waiting and waiting and waiting. So, it's hard to please a four-year-old. But when you add a trolley, it's difficult to upset a four-year-old, because it's a trolley, and they still found a way to do it. But, I realized no one gave us a hassle. People were extremely friendly. When we'd go through the different stops, people were really nice. I never felt like there was any sort of security risk. I don't see how they could justify it with the very little ridership, that they would need all this extra enforcement. That, to me, is just crazy.
Yeah, well, and you mentioned the St. Charles trolley. That's one of the things that people in the University City said they might try it here and see how it works, and see if there's any real demand for passengers. And they didn't want to do that. Joe Edwards has said all along he wants six tracks only. Another suggestion, which I thought would have been really neat, was to have the London double-decker buses, the red buses. I thought that would have been something that's kind of interesting. You have the top deck that's open. I think kids would have gotten a kick out of that. And you would have saved about $51 million.
Tom, that's the solution. Oh, my goodness. That's such a great idea. If you're looking for a novelty, something out of the ordinary, oh, my goodness, Tom, that's all they needed to do altogether. How come that wasn't considered, honestly?
Joe has said all along, I want to have fixed track, and fixed track is the only way, and fixed track is going to attract all these people, and you see how that's worked out.
No, man, Tom Sullivan joining us here on KMOX. I noticed, too, that there was a plea to the city of St. Louis. Lida Crewson even had some comments about this thing, where she would even consider throwing some money their way. How ridiculous is it to think that the city of St. Louis, with all the problems that we have with Metrolink, that they're willing to invest some money in this?
Well, the mayor of St. Louis and the county executive are kind of in the same situation. They don't want to say close it down, but they don't want to say we're going to give it any money. And that's kind of the situation that they're in. And that's why Sam Page is saying, well, let's kind of take the winter off and come back in the spring. But I have a hard time imagining that the Loop Trolley people would allow that to happen. I just think that they would somehow or another come up with the money to keep it going. If it's closed down over the winter, I think it would be very difficult to start it up.
Yeah, no kidding. I wondered this, too. And if they were ever to try to pitch, well, the only way this is sustainable is if we expand it, as in we have to find it to service more areas or go to deeper areas, or like, oh, we got to find a way to get it to the Major League Soccer stadium, or we got to try to connect it to, you know, downtown or this or that, or try to get these or more of Forest Park, other areas. Knowing how much of a hassle it was and how much extra time it took to add the current lines in, how would anyone have any confidence that expanding this thing would be a good idea? I think that's totally off the table. And now we know what we currently have is not sustainable, and we're just going to have to keep throwing money at it. I don't know how we could justify keeping this thing. I really don't. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, you're absolutely right, and that's the issue that they're facing right now. As far as expanding it, that's totally out of the question. So Joe Edwards had said he thought about expanding it to Clayton and then into Forest Park, but that would be, I don't know, God only knows where that money would ever come from, and you would have the same situation. But, you know, there's no sense in investing money in something that's, again, it's kind of a novelty item. We still have a situation with people not being able to get to work because the Metro doesn't take them in particular areas. I point out to the county council all the time, the Riverfront Times did a story last December about people unable to get to work in out in the county, and there was one restaurant in West County that couldn't get workers, so they had to close the restaurant, and they're going to reopen in the city. So those are the situations that we need to be concerned about, not the trolley.
Let me just mention one other thing. So when you look at all of the money, the taxpayer money in the sense, we have federal government, and we're paying millions and millions of upwards altogether, total of almost $52 million plus whatever extra that they're going to try to acquire. I want to compare that to some of the private endeavors that we've seen through downtown. For example, here at our studios in downtown, I can look out the window and see a glimpse of the Ferris wheel that they put up, and I know that they're going to be putting an aquarium down there, and they have all of the other attractions. They have the soda fountain and the putt-putt and everything else that they've done inside of Union Station in order to make that work. Privately, you get a company that goes in there and has the ambition and the vision to do something like that, doesn't have to ask the government for $30+ million grants in order to get all of these things done. And they just know that this is a good, sound financial investment in the city of St. Louis and the downtown area. And ultimately for them, they're going to be able to reap the benefits of it. They're going to be able to profit from it. And St. Louis will be better for having something like that in there. Then we go over and we look at what happened with this trolley. Millions and millions of dollars over budget. Years, it takes years longer than what was anticipated. It's not what was promised because of all of the eyesores. It's not running the way it should. In fact, it's not attracting the way they said it would. And now we're at the point where we want to just keep soaking more money into things that aren't working when we have private entities that are doing things that are working. We got to encourage the private that are doing the things that are working, as opposed to keep taking taxpayer money and asking to reallocate funds from other areas of the city in order to keep the things afloat that aren't working. We got to stop this, because that's ultimately what's hurting this area.
Yeah, and the people that have the Ferris wheel going in Union Station, if it doesn't succeed as they planned. You know, it's on them. They're not going to go run into the city or the county saying, you know, you got to bail us out. So that's why I don't think that the request from the Loop Trolley people is really acceptable.
Yeah. Tom Sullivan, I wanted to thank you for coming on and talking some trolley. I know you've been following this. I know you got a lot of documents. You're someone that's been emailing me some of these requests that you've asked the government, and they've sent you some things. So you've uncovered some interesting conversations to see how the inner workings of this have gone. Close it down. Yeah, maybe that's the best thing you can do. Pretend that the Loop Trolley has like a ACL problem or something like that. Or what, the Tommy John surgery? Just close it down for the season, and we'll reevaluate next year and see if there's still a demand for this. Maybe that's the best way to do it.
Well, that's kind of where it's standing right now, unless somebody comes up with some sugar daddy comes up with $500,000 or $1 million.
Ah, the sugar daddy, huh? All right. Thanks, Tom. Thank you so much for coming on to Overnight America.
Thank you.
That is Tom Sullivan, local watchdog here, and he's been following this. Yeah, we just got to, you know, pretend the trolley's got Tommy John surgery and just shut it down until next season. Just shut it down. At this point, that's probably the best thing that they could hope for as opposed to sell off the assets. It's Overnight America. Oh, and by the way, he joins us on the Quiver River Electric KMOX guest line.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Where's Ryan?
Wrecker.
Look at that mouth of that guy. Great guy.
Why do I get the great guy, you ask? Well, I mean, it's got to be accurate at least, Ryan, what he says.
Watching from the bleachers was your biggest fan, 11-year-old producer Mike Anderson.
Welcome back to Overnight America. We're here till midnight tonight, and then the replay from midnight till 2 a.m., which is pretty fun, our new hours. Except tomorrow, we'll be back at the normal time because we have the NFL on Thursday night with the Chiefs matchup, which is pretty exciting. A text message came in. Give the Loop Trolley the money in exchange for control of the trolley. Fire them and repurpose it. Could the Museum Forest Park Forever entities add a line through the park that certainly get their ridership? Well, they already have the buses, so if you wanted to actually put track down in Forest Park, I mean, that's a huge investment. But let's look at what happened when it came to the History Museum to begin with. They only have a finite amount of funding, sure. They just spent a bunch of money to renovate Soldiers Memorial in order to get that under their umbrella. So they spent a lot of money doing that. And if you remember correctly, was it the executive director of the History Museum earmarked $1 million or so dollars towards this? And then he was fired and they took the money out or he's removed. I can't remember exactly the scenario, how that played out. But the History Museum, at one point, they were going to donate some money to this and then it was taken off the table. I do know that. I just can't remember the circumstances. But I don't know why you'd want to take this on. If you know, what would be the purpose of the government to take this on and know that they're going to be bringing on a losing proposition? You know? And they got something that works fine now, which is the buses that run by themselves. We actually rode the bus once just to see what it was like. And it was just a bus ride around Forest Park. It wasn't anything fancy. It was just the precursor to my son really wanting to get on a real trolley. Thank you, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, for showing him how cool a trolley could be riding on one of those things. Talking about waste of time, there was a story about a money expert over in the UK by the name of Martin Lewis. Tell me this doesn't just drive everyone crazy. Is it just me that just gets annoyed by just about everything, or is it just about everyone else? You buy a movie ticket, and I don't go to the movies often. In fact, it's very rare when I go to a movie theater. It might be once a year, if that. Yeah, anniversary Rambo. You know, I might be able to try to convince my wife to go see Rambo on her anniversary. But outside of those occurrences, no, you don't have a lot of times you'll find me at a movie theater. But the thing that's the worst part of it all, they'll say, let's say movie start time is 9:50 p.m. And you get there at 9:50 p.m. and then the movie doesn't start till 10:15, 10:20. It's like 25 minutes after the time that was printed on the ticket and the time that they advertised. And it is so frustrating because you know they're going to do it to you, but you don't run the risk of showing up late because they decide that's the one magic day they're not going to put a bunch of advertisements in front of you. Money-saving expert Martin Lewis said online, went to a cinema for an 8:45 showing, but it was 9:17 before the film actually started. Cinemas, we pay to see films. Fine, show us 10 minutes of ads or trailers, but this inflation to 33 minutes isn't on. Either cut pre-screening times or tell us the actual start times. How hard is it for a movie theater to tell you the actual start time? And honestly, you know, if you want to show 30 minutes of trailers and ads before it, be my guest as long as you tell me the real time the movie's going to start. It's nonsense, and that's always frustrated me. It hasn't always been this bad. And you know what happens? You watch all the movie trailers, And then some places I've been to, they even show you little trivia questions in between to try to keep you engaged or whatever it is. And then you get to the end, and then they do like this big pep talk, like, it's super fun to watch it here, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it does this little thing to tell you all about how cool the movie theater is that you're sitting in right now that you chose to go see the movie in. One of the greatest inventions that movie theaters decided to add in was the pick what seat you want to sit in. I remember having to get to the movie theater when I was younger and going to a lot of films. You had to always get there super early. You had to get there like 30 or 40 minutes early just to make sure you got a good seat. And because if you showed up late, oh no, you're sitting in the front row or you're not going to be able to sit with your friends or whatever it is. So you had to get there early and stake out your seats or whatever it was. Now you go online, you can purchase the ticket ahead of time and you pick which seat is yours, knowing that when you get there, it is sitting right there waiting for you. And then you can show up as late as you want. But then, Martin Lewis points out, you could go to a first screen film, so one of the brand new films that are out, and they might show you 30 minutes of ads or movie trailers or whatever ahead of time. Or you could go to one that's been shown for a while, or maybe one of their more specialized films, and there'll be 5 minutes of ads, and then it'll go to it. You don't know. So in some cases, you're really running the risk not knowing if they're going to show a lot of ads or not. It should just be universal. Tell me the time you're going to start the movie, period. Just do it. Is that so much to ask for? Is it so much to ask? The leather seats, I don't care about it. The reclining seats, they're nice. Don't care about it. Cup holders, okay, I get it. Don't care too much about it, but I get it. It's a nice convenience thing. If you really want to please the people, put the actual start time on to the tickets, period. I did a commentary on that this week. I feel like I'm not alone. I feel like there's a lot of people that are just like me that have issues with this. All right. Here's how you listen to the show. You can go to kmox.com/ONA. In whatever podcast app you used, you can find Overnight America on it. I could recommend the radio.com app. Just make sure you click the subscribe button when you're there. You can listen back to any part of the show that you please when you want.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.